Welcome to the Flood Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:52, that's Pacific Summer Time, and today is September 1st. And it was all action in the commodity markets today. There was two reasons for that. The first is that we've had a number of contract changes. So, and generally speaking, particularly when you have a wide contango or backwardation, you can get a step in the continuation chart. But usually it's a decision-making process because people with long or short positions have to roll them forward. And then you can often get a change of trend. What is particularly interesting is, for example, coffee had a substantial rally, whereas gasoline pulled back sharply. Not only was there a gap in the chart because of the contract change, but also oil prices were down an additional $1.18 on WTI, and a little bit less than that, but still over a dollar decline on Brent crude. And these are consecutive days on the downside and consecutive days of more than dollar declines for oil prices. Gasoline prices have fallen right back to test their recent lows. So then you got to look at the overall picture for oil prices. And there is evidence of resistance above $50, and that this continues to look like a right-hand extension phase following a type 2 bottom. But considering that the rally that we had for a few months was almost 100% rally from the trough to the peak, that we can be in for quite considerable volatility within what is likely to be an overall ranging environment for oil prices. And that we might append to that statement for the foreseeable future. Then elsewhere in the commodity sector, gold mines, which have been really quite oversold, and now the Gold Bugs Index bounced today and posted an upside key day reversal from the region, or just above, in fact, the 200-day moving average. Now, gold shares were the best performing, and are probably still the best performing sector this year. And part of the reason for that is because they performed so dismally last year, and also because gold prices have rebounded and broken a medium-term downtrend. And just to highlight how oversold gold shares were, they were back at historic lows relative to the gold price. They had basically plowed all of their available free cash flow into developing new mines, and as a result had massively underperformed the gold price when gold prices peaked. But when gold prices had been declining for 4 years, that put a number of those businesses under rather extreme pressure. They have since cleaned up their acts. They are now focusing once more on free cash flow. In other words, they're no longer investing every available cent in expanding production, but rather attempting to win or curry favor with investors by increasing dividends, and often announcing dividends that are commensurate with rises in the gold price. Newmont was among the first to do that, and I wonder, is that perhaps one of the reasons that it hasn't pulled back as much as some of the other gold mines? When we look at the Gold Bugs Index, then you can see that it has bounced now from the region of the 200-day moving average. Most of the gold shares that performed in line with it are South African gold mines. They did particularly well. They were among the very best performers because they were rallying while gold was rallying, and at the same time the rand had been declining. So they were perhaps more susceptible to a mean reversion setback, and most of them have now had that, so they're at a natural area to find support, and they are indeed bouncing. Whereas there are a number of mines like Newmont which have not pulled back to the same extent and have posted these upside key trade reversals today. So that's at least a low of near-term significance. Upside follow-through, and something we say at the chart seminar is the key to the key is really size and then follow through. Well, the size of these upside keys has checked the decline, but it isn't resoundingly large, and therefore it is dependent on upside follow through either tomorrow or next week to confirm the low. But for those that have not yet unwound their overbought conditions, we could be in for a little bit of additional ranging, which would allow the moving average to catch up. And but by and large, what we are presented with, and particularly in the metal prices, is short-term oversold conditions. And silver today was up 24, almost 25 cents, clipping the $19 area once more and leading the advances on the precious metal sector overall. And generally speaking, because silver is high beta gold, then we can anticipate that this is potentially a forerunner for a bounce in the wider precious metal sector. And if we can see it follow through on the upside tomorrow, then that would certainly help to confirm that view. In the currency markets in here today, then, the Australian dollar was a little bit firmer, and so was the New Zealand dollar. And the New Zealand stock market is among the best of the developed markets in terms of its performance and consistency. And it is being supported by the relative strength of its currency and the wide interest rate differentials that exist between New Zealand and just about every other developed market. The Australian market was a little bit weaker in here today, and the banking sector has also pulled back, but short-term oversold condition is evident there, so it is getting progressively closer to where one might anticipate that there would be a bounce. When we look at Japan, then the Nikkei was up very marginally, and the yen was a little bit stronger in here today, but not in a dynamic fashion. And the euro was a little bit firmer, again not in a dynamic fashion. Where you did have a dynamic was in the pound. The pound was up today by a cent, well, 130 ticks, so over a cent, and got right up to test the 133 area. And that, when you look at the pound, we obviously know that the Bank of England does not want to have a stronger pound, and they are willing to sell more of it and to buy more bonds in terms of their quantitative easing program to keep the pound down. But what you do have is a progression of lower rally highs and a developing wedgy kind of characteristic to the cable rate. So a break above 133 would break that progression of lower rally highs and set the pound up for some additional upside. But of course, the ability to sustain additional upside would be heavily contingent on the belief that the Bank of England wasn't going to act against it. And we pretty much have an almost open book guarantee that the Bank of England is going to try and keep the pound down until some of the uncertainty surrounding Brexit has dispelled. In stock markets generally, it was a reasonably quiet day. And perhaps more interesting is the fact that what we've seen in Europe was most markets were a little bit softer. And it's perhaps more instructive to highlight those that were firm. And among those that are firmest are in Eastern Europe, where the Croatian market has continued to rally, the Slovenian market, which is a euro-denominated market, had a quite clear upward dynamic to countermand the pullback that we saw yesterday, and the Baltic region remains a centre of strength. And the Bulgarian market pulled back sharply over the last couple of weeks and then posted a very clear upward dynamic in here today. Well, what does that tell us? It suggests that perhaps a lot of the bad news has already been priced into some of those markets, and that they are benefiting more from the ECB's easy monetary policy than some of the larger, more developed Eurozone countries, and not least because they have in large part been able to sidestep a lot of the problems that have arisen from the creation of the Euro because they were so late in joining it. So that is perhaps a bright spot in Europe. When we kind of look at the main European indices, then we're seeing a continued softness and a high sensitivity to the relative position of the euro. But overall, it's an environment where the ECB is buying bonds hand over fist, and really that is acting as an overall support for the markets. But nevertheless, I think what we do need is some sort of resolution to a number of the outstanding problems in Europe before we can really get investor interest moving upwards in a dynamic fashion. And it was because it was a relatively quiet day on stock markets, it was also relatively quiet in the bond markets. And you know, this is this sort of inert environment overall on Wall Street isn't going to last forever, but at the same time, what it is doing is unwinding the short-term overbought condition. And perhaps, you know, it is worth just keeping an eye on some of the very large cap and clearly outperforming shares like Amazon and Google and Microsoft, Apple, and their ability to continue to trade above their respective 200-day moving averages represents an overall bullish factor for Wall Street, and it would suggest that this rather inert environment that we're presented with right now is likely to be resolved to the upside before very long, and a clear move below the 200-day moving average would be required to even begin to question that, because beyond the MA, then you still have the higher reaction lows that have been in evidence for most of the year. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.